Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, trying to keep us in line a little bit, helping us produce the show. You know him as many different names. Of course, by now you know he is Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar is a man who knows that the world don't move to the beat of just one drum, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
What's up, guys?
What's that big ring you got on your finger? What is it? Is that?
That is that is a 1922 Alabama championship ring.
Is it really?
No.
Oh. It looks like a watch battery that you got put like a ring around it.
No, it's just a ring, okay. Dude. It's a watch out. Don't let me crack you with it.
I just noticed it because it was blinding me.
I noticed Travis's old school Pacer shirt. I got my Reds working. Tuna, how about you? Oh, Dodgers. Mm.
Of course. And Mr. Electricity back there is just...
He's got his
UK hat on, of course.
Guys, we're getting close to Vegas.
We are. We were talking about it in our little meetup before the show. We are traveling out to Vegas, the four of us, the Blockout crew here, for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, which should be a whole hell of a lot of fun. I'm very much looking forward to that.
We're going to take it over.
We might.
And we are taking, if anyone had, we're trying to determine what small school we're going to pull for, correct?
Yes.
We have a couple on the board, Indiana State.
Yes.
What's their nickname?
Sycamores.
The Sycamores. Ask Larry Bird that. And we have now come up with South Florida, who is a hot, hot, great story.
I think one of the requirements you have to be a directional school or a state school, like directional or state. So like Indiana State, South Florida would like Eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
But like, man, so if Morehead State gets in, I would leave them out.
When has this group ever had requirements?
I'm making them up as we go.
Okay.
Well, obviously they're not going to stick.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So can we include,
it's a fluid situation.
Can we include Fred's favorite team, Kansas State, in that?
They are not going to make it.
Well,
your light purple jerseys.
If we were
going to
be there for the NIT, then we could do that.
They're going to be playing in the fraternity games.
But
what's that called? The
I don't know. The CBI?
No, there's a name.
Intramural.
Intramurals.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Jerome.
So, so
send
that,
it in, Jerome.
Stay at home, Jerome.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Selection Sunday is now what?
It's on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
13 days.
13 days away?
Yeah. So conference tournaments are now underway. We've got a couple. We've got one going on right now.
The Mighty Atlantic Sun.
Selection Sunday. St. Patrick's Day, the Vegas trip. We have all this stuff coming up. But again, we are kind of in this period where...
Freddie Bender's birthday.
Well, yeah, that obviously is the biggest
event.
It's a
federal holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. Fred's going to party like it's a federal holiday. I have no doubt about that.
So like just a random Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. But so... We are at Monday. A point now where teams are, college basketball teams are playing for possible seeds in their conference tournaments. We know where Louisville now is going to be slotted in their conference tournament. And spoiler alert, it is not a particularly good slot to
hey,
be in.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's that tournament that is not the NIT?
The CBI?
The CBI.
The NCAA tournament.
That's got y'all's name written all over it.
No. No, we can't do anything.
Oh, you can't?
No. It's over with. This is...
it's over with.
Next Tuesday, we're celebrating the end of an era. And it's going to be over with, and we're going to move forward. And just a hint, we all need to pull for whoever is playing Baylor. The quicker that they lose, the quicker I think we can all be happier.
So you
saw,
so is that going around? That, I sent you that. And
it
I'm
all
sure
got started with Eric Crawford. He put a tweet out during the game, and it had his little eyeball emojis like he's looking at something, and it said, look 600 miles west. 600 miles west of here is Waco.
Okay.
So
it's not,
Huh?
No.
So I think that's where it was, and a lot of people have said. Apparently, last time we hired Kenny Payne, Scott Drew was at the top of Josh Hurd's list to go after him. He had too much pressure on him around here to hire in Kenny Payne.
Okay.
So I think we went with Kenny Payne. Now he's getting a second shot, and we're going to try to go. I believe. I don't know if he's going to come or not, but he's the top target, I believe.
Wow, that's a pretty damn good top target.
And I just found out today because I'm, you know, Googling. Guess what his salary is down at – I just went.
And we should be back. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but please
Freddie fell over, knocked everything over.
I'm back up.
We got him back up.
It's all good.
I got him tied down to his bar stool.
Go ahead with what we were talking about there.
No, so I was looking. Guess what Scott Drew's salary is? Guess what he makes per year down at Baylor?
I'm going to say $3.6 million.
I would be close to say 3.2.
Okay.
Well, in the threes.
2.7.
Okay.
Kenny Payne's salary is 3.4.
Oh, mercy.
So you have a guy that won a national championship down there at Baylor making less than some guy that's never coached college basketball for in his life.
In a tough division.
He's been at a university for the past 2 years and still hasn't coached a college basketball game.
Right.
So, I don't
know. I hear you. That's a little shocking.
I can easily see him being the number one guy. And there's been a lot of talk about Nate Oates. I don't really want Nate Oates. I think Nate Oates would be great. Like, he'd come in, he'd fire everybody up. But I don't think you can win a national championship with Nate Oates. I honestly believe that.
He's a good recruiter.
That style of play that they play where it's just up and down and there's no real defense. Like, you're not going to win six games in a row in a tournament playing like that.
Right. Nate Oates does not scare me.
No, I don't really. I think.
But Drew does.
Drew would be a great. Great.
I mean, if you compare the teams we pull for, Drew has gotten us.
Well,
but
think about the situation he walked into at Baylor. That was awful. You had literally a player on a team murdered another player, and all this was being covered up by the existing coach. So he comes in there with just nothing, and he built them into a perennial power. They're every year in the mix.
Right.
So if that's a home run hire, if we can make that happen. But other than that, I think we should talk about the teams that actually are doing something. And NCAA tournament.
Like the Cats?
Like the Cats.
I was gonna go into South Florida a little bit, but we can talk about
the
Cats.
The story of South Florida is a really cool story. No, Abdur Rahim.
Yes. I like the South Florida team. They're scrappy. They get at you.
They are regular season champions of their division. Now mm-hmm. they've got to play the tournament.
But I think they're in regardless.
Right.
So
there's one of our teams.
Yeah, they might be coming with it.
Okay. Jody, he cut you off just real quick. Like Calipari said, I ain't ready for Cal. yet.
Who is this, Travis?
That picture you're looking at right there is the coach that you just mentioned that covered up the murder.
My God.
That's Dave Bliss.
Wow. And if you all had, 1972 IU basketball, man. Holy crap.
Hey, there's a crazy documentary on that, too. There's not a 30. It's not a 30 for 30, but I've seen it. That whole an hour-long setup on that.
I just happened
incredible.
When you mentioned that, I thought, I think his picture is staring at all of us from the other end of the downstairs pub right now. And sure enough, there he is right there.
Wow.
Dave Bliss. But
I have a question. Where,
shame that wasn't the guy that Bobby shot in the face with his bird shot.
I have a question. Someone called in on a talk show I was listening to, and they were like, man, Vandy, what the hell's happened to Vandy basketball? And I was thinking, you know, that's a good question because Vandy basketball was really doing well. I know that the coach that had them really going, Hampton?
No, that was Kevin Stallings.
Kevin Stallings. I was on an airplane.
But he
flight
left and went
once.
To Pitt, didn't he?
Right, he did. And did I don't know why he left, but he really had them going. I think they won an SEC championship. I know they won the 2012 tournament.
Festus
over
Ely.
The UK team that when I was there.
Yeah.
Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
Where is he right now?
He's at Grand Canyon.
Why did they get rid of him?
Because he went 0-20 or
what
something in the SEC.
What happened with that? Because I thought players coming in.
They were devastated with injuries 2 years in a row.
Okay.
And for whatever, and I thought when Bryce Drew went there, I thought he was the perfect fit. You know, he came from Valpo.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of that culture Vandy had. Now, Vandy, the last couple years under Stallings, had underperformed a little bit, but they were still a solid team that you didn't want to play.
Garland is one of his players, correct?
Well, he was supposed
dominating
to be.
The NBA.
He was supposed
doing well
to be
in the NBA. You're right.
He played like two.
Okay.
He played like two games.
Two games.
For Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And he blew his knee out.
That I knew he got hurt, but
And so that didn't work, and so they brought in Jerry Stackhouse, and for whatever reason, and Stack is, I think he's a good basketball guy. I'm not sure the way that he coaches, and I think he might be more suited for the NBA, honestly.
Right.
He's not a big rah-rah guy as it relates to,
because it's easier
dealing with boosters and dealing with the Alumni Association and going out and speaking at these events.
Well, I don't think there's definitely a side of people that don't like him, put it that way.
And he has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way down there.
Including coaches.
And
coaches against.
I would assume that his tenure there is over after this season. That's another interesting job because, as you said, not that Vanderbilt has this incredible tradition of championships or whatever, but Kevin Stallings did have them rolling.
Oh, man.
And before that, Jan Van Bredekhoff was there. And before that, my IU people are going to kill me. C.M. Newton. C.M. Newton was the coach there.
Yeah. Yes.
For several years.
Yeah,
and he was very good there.
Why did Stallings leave there?
And go to Pitt.
It had run its course. It was one of those deals where it was like a mutual parting of the ways.
Because that's such a cool arena and always a tough place to play. And
they don't have an athletic director. And it's like it's made up by a group of people, correct?
They have, I mean.
So it's hard to have somebody to have
not,
your back.
It's not
there.
Called yet. Now, David Williams, we called him the Gold Father. He was. When James Franklin was there, and Stallings had the basketball program rolling, and of course, I mean, they always have a good golf team, tennis,
baseball. They're always great in baseball.
They're always up there, and then
great
he really
pitchers.
He retired.
Great fans that whistle.
he retired, and literally the day of his retirement party, he passed away. And ever since then, there's kind of been a black cloud over the entire athletic department there, besides from the baseball team, which is still doing well. But and it's obviously a very difficult place to win in football, but there's no reason that their basketball team should be as bad as they are.
No, and sorry I got off on a thing, because Drew, that's what brought me to, when you were talking about Coach Drew at Baylor, I was like, man, his son was a pretty good coach,
his
I thought.
Brother.
And, I mean, no, his brother.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened to his brother? I really...
Hey, man.
That just made me think
Grand Canyon's
it.
Got some damn
Obviously,
resources.
Obviously, their dad was a great coach,
and
too.
And I
10 years from now, we're going to be talking about Grand Canyon. Like,
Jody can look that up, but I believe that they're having a pretty good season this year.
Probably are. Dan Hurley was the
Sydney
first coach
Curry's
they had.
Sidney Curry's over there for them.
Talking about Stackhouse, though, it's what's mind-boggling. He was SEC Coach of the Year in basketball last year.
Okay.
I mean, if you remember right, Vanderbilt had a pretty good year last year.
It is weird. Vandy gets hot, and then they're just like up and down, up and down. There's never any consistency in the middle. You know,
Stallings had
Florida hasn't done very good, but they at least have consistency in the middle.
Florida's got a good team this year.
And now they have a good team this year, right. You know, and now their coach is coaching at Georgia. I mean, it's kind of weird how these coaches have flopped around.
Stallings had those teams in the I don't know, it would have been like 2010 to 2015 that were always very competitive. Like Fred mentioned, they beat Kentucky. That went on to, but one of my favorite trivia questions is the season that Kentucky won the national championship.
Right.
They lost two games. Those two losses were two.
I'm assuming
Mississippi State and Vanderbilt.
I thought both of them were to Vandy.
Indiana and Vanderbilt.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're
the last second shot. I was
okay.
There.
You're talking 2012.
Oh yes. My lord!
All right, the '96 team when they went on that run.
I was
with
there
because
I almost got killed in there. I didn't think I was going to make it out alive.
Yep, we talked about it last week. We talked about it last week on the podcast.
Well, what, Travis, help us out with other now that we're because that's kind of getting us on this thing. So we got South Florida, Indiana State. I know you have another team there that's like some team that we're going to have to keep an eye on wild in Vegas.
I am definitely, and being in Vegas, it'll be cool. I hope maybe some locals are out and about. Nevada.
Ah, okay.
Alford's okay. Team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have, now, the past couple of years, and, I mean, say what you will, there you go. Grand Canyon's 26-4 this year. Say what
Sidney
you will
Curry.
About
big ticket
Steve
Great
Alford
movie.
As
Great
a coach,
movie.
But Steve Alford as a coach has taken
Great National Park
every team that he's ever coached at the Division I level to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Now, as Tuna was saying before, I don't think you're going to ever win a national championship with Steve Alford, but if you want to have some solid teams that are competitive and have a chance to make the tournament every year, Steve Alford may be your guy.
And solid guy.
And they are a fun team to watch. They've had a couple of really big wins.
Nevada's always had a good basketball program.
They just won last week on a half-court shot at the buzzer on the road.
Nice.
So I have... And I am an Alford honk. I will admit that. But I've watched a lot of their games over the last couple seasons, and they're a team that I'm keeping an eye on. That if they get the right draw, could be a problem in the first couple rounds of the tournament.
Is their color
purple?
I'd
get on board if they were East Nevada or Nevada State, but just Nevada, I can't do it.
Are they purple? So, is their
they're
color
navy
purple?
Blue.
Navy blue.
Yeah,
navy
yeah,
blue.
Yeah, blue. Okay.
Navy blue and silver, I believe.
Yep.
Okay.
It's Colin Kaepernick University, I believe.
Yep. And I will more than likely have a Nevada shirt to wear one night while we're out there.
That all said,
right. Fair warning.
We're all spoiled. I mean, IU, UK, U of L. I mean, blue.
Yeah, I'm spoiled, buddy.
Well, no, listen.
Spoiled rotten.
Blue Bloods. Like, we expect to win championships and get into Final Fours. People like Nevada want to get in the NCAA and win 20 games every year.
Right.
That's the majority of the country.
Right.
So, normally, when we think about it, if we're not getting an Elite Eight or Final Four, we're upset.
No, for totally.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So, like Minnesota, when Tubby went to Minnesota, you know, he won 20 games a year for whatever and then went to Texas. Though they just want to get to the tournament
right.
and win 20 games and be competitive. They don't expect to win.
Right. No, Minnesota, ice fishing and hockey.
Yeah.
You know,
Timberwolves basketball.
Well,
oh, they love their Vikings.
Hey, the Timberwolves,
they love their
are
Vikings
good.
Up there, man.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that,
yeah,
I, well
sure.
no, we're not getting into that. I'm just talking about
they got the Viking
universities.
Horn.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it is, but there are so all the tournaments are starting up right now. Correct, Travis.
Your lower. You know, whatever they call these, the
mid-majors.
Those are all starting now.
The place is packed.
Yeah.
What? St. Louis Bertrand Church.
Oh my.
Yeah. There's about
people there.
15 people at the A-Sun tournament right now.
There's more press than there is fans.
Yeah.
We ought to drive down to Richmond and raise hell down there.
I had to check and see if they were playing, and they are playing.
God, don't storm the court on
God,
this one.
Clayton yeah. had, my little boy had more people in his game.
The folks in Richmond don't flood the streets for the Kennesaw State. Who are they playing?
Jacksonville
game. Bellarmine's in
hey,
this conference, aren't they?
Who
yeah, A-Sun.
Who's a great, who's a, the best, the greatest Jacksonville alumni?
Artis Gilmore.
That's right.
Yep.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
So should we go into our what teams are hot right now?
Yeah,
basketball.
Yeah, please.
Jody, yep. I think you were talking about
He's
one.
He's chomping at the bit back here, I can tell.
Get it going, electricity.
We're still unknown. The whole big man situation, they've got it figured out to the point that they're just going to play the guy that's playing good that game, and that's what they should. They
He's
rotate him in and out.
The Kentucky Wildcats.
Right.
Our three big guys, yeah. We can score a lot of points, but guys, we gave up 95 the game before. We gave up 102 this game. We're still giving up a lot of points.
Right. I was talking.
If that doesn't stop, we can't move.
No,
on.
You're right. I was talking to a couple of my buddies. Shout out to Tommy, who had a good point. He's like, look, here's the deal. This is what I'm taking from it, in my opinion, is. The defense is what it is. You've got to put the centers in. Yes, the Nigerian needs to sit more than he plays. I think Big Z's the answer. And Bradshaw more so. Just use all three of them with whoever's playing well. But you got to win or at least even the rebound battle. If you can do that on offense and defensive rebounding, is someone going to outscore us? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think so. So the way that is a good point. Just forget about the defense. I mean, I know that's hard to say, but it's a good point. Let's just move forward and play what our game is. And just, you know, you've got the microwave coming off the bench or starting or whoever, and that is Big Rob, Dillingham. You've got Shep, who's now leading the team almost in minutes. Believe it or not, the
he
last
does.
Few games,
yep.
and he deservingly so. Now Wagner's hitting his three. Now Edwards is starting to come on. And if Edwards comes on, look out, world, because everyone else is just going to fit right in to the niche. And you know what? If Mitchell comes back, I don't know. This is
comes back.
That's
didn't
where
he play the other night.
Yeah, a little bit, but he's been still. That shoulder's still.
Yeah, he
a
had a brace on.
That's
where our rebounding could come into
right,
effect.
Right, and
help.
I don't want to say no. We don't want Mitchell back because we do. But I mean, just it all seems to be plugging right now. Like I mean, when we were down 8 to Arkansas and it was in the 90s already, I'm like. Good God, we're going to lose this game.
See, that's interesting because
Did you think that, or did you think the opposite?
I never felt like that they were going to get beat.
I was like, this team's just trying to outscore us. And Dillingham, who doesn't have a good game, the whole game, he sits out. They put Reeves on the bench to give him a breather. Dillingham comes out and just starts dominating.
What was the most impressive stat in that whole game to you? If you really watched the game.
I mean, I haven't looked at the box score, but tell me.
Seven guys had double figures.
Okay.
That is impressive to me. And then, of course, we scored.
Well, hell, they scored 180 points. I hope seven people had double figures. Shit.
But when you can have that many opportunities for a guy to have 20 or 30 points,
right,
that gives you hope.
Right.
That's the only thing on the other side of the not playing defense that I'm looking forward to.
So Kentucky is hot.
Washington State. Come on now. We can't talk about hot teams.
Tell me something.
Without
that,
they've beaten Arizona twice.
Okay.
They've beaten USC twice. This is a good basketball team.
Okay.
They are scrappy. And you want to talk about a group of guys that get in double figures? It's Washington State. They're all one guy's averaging 15. Everybody else is like 9 and 10. It's team basketball. And if you're winning out there in Pullman, Washington, God, somebody needs to take a look at that.
Are you telling me, Tuna, that somebody has beaten Bronny James twice this year?
Yeah, I was going to say, give me some other than USC.
I gave you Arizona right out the gate.
Okay.
But they beaten Oregon, you know, Washington.
No,
you know, I mean, Arizona twice, that stands out to me. They've beaten Utah. I don't know what you want. The Pac-12. Yeah, I mean.
Hey, teams come from the Pac-12.
I like this Washington State team. It is proven in the
tournament that teams, when they come up against a Pac-12 team, sometimes they are not used to their
style.
They're
not scoring 140 points a game, so I don't know how you would look
at them. But they run and they're looser. Don't you think the Pac-12 is just more of a running team that plays loose?
That's the general mindset, I think, of a lot of people. But, I mean, there are
– Arizona's a great team does pass very well. They have been on the cusp. They have those players that have been there.
Typically, UCLA has been a pretty good defensive team.
They beat UCLA.
And UCLA isn't great this year.
The Washington flag is a fly-in. Mm. Okay.
State.
Washington State. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Cougars.
We can't root for Washington because they're not a state or a direction.
Exactly.
But we can.
And
root
Michael
for
Penix
Washington
don't play
state.
Basketball.
That's right. So. Although if he did, he might be in line for the Naismith Award.
I got a game that I only caught bits and pieces of because I was preparing for a party. Drink. And two teams that stymie me, but they're both very good teams that are going to be in people's brackets moved up, played again Saturday, Marquette and Creighton.
Marquette lost Kolick in that game.
He did. Yeah.
He's going to be out for a couple games. I don't know if he's going to play in the conference tournament or not.
They said that he would be evaluated before the tournament.
That's a kind of a big loss for them, and I don't ever know what to make of Marquette. They play good defense.
I don't either.
But
that's what
don't
I was
know.
Getting at. Both of those
I don't know
teams.
Where their scoring comes from night to night. I don't know. It's kind of a mess.
Right. And then Creighton has a lot of seniors. You know, they're a senior.
The thing about Creighton
team.
That's weird, they don't foul and they don't get fouled. Like, well, explain that to me. How do you
and play
basketball?
They play great at home and they don't
and
play great on the road.
Don't ever foul anybody and you don't ever draw fouls. Like, it's the weirdest thing, man. But I like the Creighton team, but
I do too. And you know they're going to be well coached.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to be well prepared.
They're not going to win it at the free throw line.
No,
no, and, no. They will not.
And they're not.
And that's
a team,
so strange to me.
I don't think they're a team built like they could upset somebody in the first round, second round of the tournament. But I don't think they're necessarily the team as you were talking about that's built to make a deep run like. They have been in the past. They've had those teams where you said if the things line up right, this Creighton team could make the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is that kind of team this year.
Here's a team that I think is built to make a Final Four run that's kind of below the radar. It's Illinois.
I was just about
we've talked about
that was going to be my team.
That's That team has everything, I feel like.
They play Purdue tomorrow night, I think.
That's going to be such a great game.
Yeah, that's must-see
television. I like
television.
Their guard play. I like everything they do is good. They look deep. They look well-coached. I don't know. I really like this Illinois team going in. They might be worth putting a little future bet on when it comes to regionals. I don't know if they'll win a championship, but I could see them making a Final Four run.
Well, Tuna, who are your eight teams?
Eight?
That you think are going to make a good run in the tournament?
I mean,
that's
obviously.
A lot of teams.
Yeah, that is a lot. I mean, I'm going to say your usual suspects first of UConn, Houston, and Tennessee. Arizona, maybe. I don't know. Iowa State, I really like this Iowa State team.
I can be talked into Iowa State.
I just wish that they could play every game at home.
Yeah, right.
But I would say Illinois, UK definitely could make a run. But UK can also get beaten in the first weekend if you run into the right defense. I don't really know. It's tough, man. It's tough to just pick eight teams.
I'll tell you a team that's playing hot right now, Gonzaga.
Is who's the guy that's out, the main dude for Kansas that's not playing? Is he out for the season?
Who?
The big man?
No. He's healthy.
You talking about McCollum?
Yes, McCollum. Is he going to be back by the tournament? Or
a good question.
Because that's –
that
think
guy
they're a different
is a,
team when he plays.
Oh, dude, he's a triple-double guy. Yeah. I mean, he can – he is the defensive guy. He's the hard-nosed guy. He's everything for that team.
If
he
he's
is
in
their
there,
leader.
If
it's
he's
not
in
Dickinson.
There for tournament time or March, I mean, it'd be hard to leave Kansas out of that mix.
But they're kind of going down without him, you can
tell.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think they're probably going to get like a seed that's a little bit below than where they should be when he gets back.
Right, I got a question mark team that's right now 24-5. Not many people talk about them. The South Carolina Gamecocks. 24-5.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about them, Tuna?
They're the Marquette of the SEC. It's honestly.
Really
it's
good
just,
comparison,
that's,
honestly.
They're the two same teams. I don't know where their scoring is going to come from on certain nights. They play good defense. They can really cause headaches. I could see them winning a couple games in March, but if they get cold, I don't know where those points are going to come from.
It's another team you don't want to play at home.
No, not at all.
You don't want to play them at home.
You don't want to play them on a short week. Like, if you don't get them in the first round, but you got them in the second round, they're going to be a tough team to prepare for on 2 days or one day.
Right, right.
So, I don't know, man. Them and
– you got Utah State that's
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's.
Get out on them.
I'm not
about them. They're terrible. I don't get it. Like, Gonzaga completely manhandled them over the weekend.
Have you watched Utah State?
No, I have not even seen Utah State
I have
play.
Not seen them play yet. Have you guys seen them?
No.
They were playing hot about the middle of the season. They have dropped a little bit. They're still going to be up there, but they're not going to make a deep run.
And then also, here's
they're
a little
24-5.
Yeah. I like the Appalachian State team. That's they got a good little basketball team. I think they're the best team in Conference USA. They'll probably get in the tournament regardless. I don't know. Everything's kind of going to be about
matchups. I think Florida's a dangerous team.
They're coming on hot. They are.
Really
they are dangerous.
I think they're a dangerous team. You're going to get them. They're
Florida
gonna be
is.
A, they'll
hey,
be
I'm,
like a
good.
What,
well
like an 8 or a 9 seed maybe. Do you see them being something like that where you're like – you know, that 8-9's in the first round, dude.
I think with Florida, you can't put them below a 7. I know it's crazy to say that, but I think a 7 seed.
I was just getting ready to ask, do you think an 8 seed can win the NCAA tournament this year?
Yeah, I do.
I totally agree. I think it's that wide
open. Oh, it's wide open. That is a thick conference. And what? The Big 12. Same with the Big 12, man. You never know who could win in the Big 12.
What's the highest ranked team?
I think it's U of L.
The highest.
The lowest ranked?
Yeah, the lowest seeded team to win a.
I think it's U of L in 86.
What was UConn in 2014?
Oh, they were.
I'll look it up.
They were.
They barely got in there.
They had to win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Just to make the tournament.
No, Louisville beat them in the conference tournament that year, I believe.
Oh, I thought they won the championship that year.
They won the national championship.
No, but I thought they won the
conference
tournament.
I think Louisville
tournament.
Beat them by like 30 points. But oh, they made it to that championship.
No, Louisville That's beat right. them twice, didn't they?
That's right.
Louisville beat them three times.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they got really hot in that conference tournament. And then Louisville beat them by like 30. And then they get in the NCAA tournament and go on just that insane run.
Right.
Right.
That little point guard was
Shabazz Napier.
Shabazz Napier. And then they had some great role players.
But, were they a 7 seed?
They also had an 8.
Nope, it was Villanova is the lowest seed to win, and they were an 8 seed that year.
Right.
So I think UConn may have been a 7 seed that year.
There's another guard on that team that doesn't get very much credit. It was McDonald's All-American that just stayed for like 3 years that played along Shabazz Napier, and he gets absolutely no credit for that UConn run. And
was that the year that
I
they
really
beat Butler?
Look him up.
Was that the year that they beat Butler?
They beat UK in the championship.
No, they
game.
Beat UK.
Oh, okay.
Wisconsin was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker was the one that beat Butler, I believe. That which was another strange run that UConn did.
Right.
That was is that Kevin Ollie?
Yeah.
Yes. First year.
Yep. We were talking about Nevada earlier. They have a big game tomorrow night against Boise State. But the Mountain West. Let's talk about the Mountain West for a second. Utah State sitting at 12-4. Boise 12-4. Nevada 11-5, San Diego State 11-5. San Diego State and Utah State both ranked in the top 25. UNLV 11-5. New Mexico, who we talked about on this show, as being a potential team you did not want to see in the tournament, they're at 9-7. I mean, they are potentially a 4-bid league, I think.
That's
the
awesome,
Mountain
man.
West is potentially a 4-bid league.
And I guess, is Washington State and Oregon State going to join the Mountain West next season?
Hmm. Maybe. I mean, it seems
they would almost have to.
Yeah,
Where else would they go? Well, I mean, it's conference realignment, so they could end up in the Atlantic Sun.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, yeah. But, wow. So, yeah, if you had Washington State in there with that mix of talent, right now they're better than the ACC. ACC is like a 2-bid league.
It's
man.
Better than the Big Ten.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. Big Ten, you got like Purdue and Illinois, and
who else?
Purdue and Illinois, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But,
who else?
Yeah.
I mean,
Wisconsin's getting in the tournament.
Boy, but they're on a
they're not good.
They're on a downturn.
They're not good.
Minnesota, I think, is a bubble team, right?
Yeah, probably.
Nebraska, maybe.
Yeah,
Michigan State
yeah.
is, but they're a bubble team too, I think.
Yeah, they're
like the Mountain West. Their top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Their top 7 teams, as far as their resumes go, is every bit as strong as the. As what the Big Ten has, minus your Purdue and Illinois. You got Purdue and Illinois, and then everybody else is, chasing the scraps. But I tell you, I mean, and it's some good basketball.
Did you mention New Mexico when we were talking?
Mm-hmm.
Mountainous. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, they're sitting, but and that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We talked about them earlier in the season as a team, like you don't want to face them. Because they're big, they're long, they're athletic, but they're 9-7 in the league, and they need to probably make a run in their conference tournament to make the tournament. You're looking at Utah State, Boise State at 12-4, which nobody is talking about.
No.
I mean, nobody.
No.
Then Nevada, then San Diego State,
Colorado State.
They're 9-8. I mean, they're in the mix.
What's their overall record?
They are 21-9.
There you go. So 8 of their losses are conference losses.
Yep. So you have 24-5, 21-8, 24-6, 22-7, 18-10, 21-8, 21-9. Those are your top seven teams in the Mountain West.
Wow.
And I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Jesus, that them in the Big 12 and SEC, probably the three top.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, if you're going to rank them, you obviously go Big 12 one, maybe SEC two, and then them three.
I think so. And I mean, if you watch, and they are getting...
Big East, I think, has got to be up in the mix for that, too. There's some...
Probably. But they have every right to be involved in the conversation as the, you know, the third best league in the country, which I think is cool as hell.
Yeah, for
sure. And I hope that they have two or three teams that make decent runs in the tournament.
Now, a majority of these teams have guys that are made up from the transfer portal, correct?
Yep.
See, they have embraced it, and, like, this is what we're doing. We ain't got no McDonald All-Americans. So, like, you can look at the Final Four last year. How many McDonald All-Americans played in that Final Four? Was there even one?
I believe last year, well, it might have been the first time ever that there was not a McDonald's.
I think it was because UConn
four.
Did not have any.
Did Miami? Miami was the only team I was thinking of.
No, it was
one.
Not Wong.
Yeah,
he did. He was not. He okay. was their best player. And no
well,
one,
well,
no one
San Diego
from San
State,
Diego
no.
State,
Florida Atlantic,
and,
no.
and the fourth team,
Florida Atlantic,
San
Diego
State, UConn,
and
Miami.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and by the way, while we're on UConn, I want to give those names because it drove me crazy. It drives me crazy. Shabazz Napier was the leader of that team, but Ryan Boatwright, was a great freaking player. McDonald's All-American and had some suspension problems, started the season late, ended up averaging 17 or 18 in that game, two guards, and then a great winger that – might still be in the NBA,
winger.
But did play. DeAndre Daniels was a great wing player that got hot. I think against Kentucky he had like 22, 23 points. So, and then they had a big, tall white boy that came in that was like, I don't know, he was their center, 6'10". Dude, that's awesome, guys.
I got an NCAA trivia question for you. So the lowest seed to win the NCAA tournament is an 8 seed, 85 Villanova.
Right.
From 1 to 8, every seed has won the NCAA except for one.
5 seed.
It's the 5 seed. And as we all know, that first weekend you always bet the 12 against the 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
More 5s get upset early in that
first
weekend.
More 5s get
anything.
Upset early. It's just – it's crazy. How that all works.
Yeah.
But
no, I think that's the way to go back to that about McDonald America. I think that's the way that the college basketball is going nowadays.
No, I hear you.
You hit the transfer portal.
Well, some of the best players are in the G League. They didn't even get on a team.
Yeah.
So besides all the blue bloods, you know.
Yeah, I would rather build a team full of guys that have been proven at like a mid-major or another school somewhere and could come in and play right away other than a freshman that may get it, you know, 20 games into the season and then leave the following year.
Well, prime example at Tennessee, Dalton Connect.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy went to JUCO and then another college, and now he's up for SEC player of the year.
They have a couple on the team,
though. Oh, true.
Yeah.
Is the Sears kid from Alabama, was he a transfer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's a squirrely little guy, dude. But I don't know, man. It's
he's similar to Hubbard on Mississippi State. I mean, they remind me of each other. But small guards.
Hubbard's a true freshman, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a gamer for a true freshman, and he wasn't even really highly recruited either,
no,
was he? Just
no.
out of nowhere. Yeah, I like that Mississippi State team. I really do. Like, you talk about teams that nobody's talking about. That's kind of a fun team.
Well, and I talked about us giving up 100 points this last game too, but. They did shoot, I think, 63% from the field. I mean, they were hitting everything in that game. So,
Well, I mean, some might see that as a reflection on the relative merits of the defense that they were playing against.
You would think, but but a lot of those were three-pointers. They hit a ton of three-pointers. I mean, we did, in my opinion, I thought we played pretty good defense, but they were – they just shot well, and that's happened the last couple games against us.
Well, I will say this. I mean, and pretty much every year – the NCAA tournament, as we know, it always delivers. The conference tournaments are going to be fascinating. Some of these schools that we've mentioned might need a little bit of a run to even make the NCAA tournament, but I can't wait to see how that all unfolds over the next 12, 13 days. And
we're going to raise hell in Vegas.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Fred, I was going to ask you, do you have an update on the trail to the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I do a quick update. I'm trying to find Tuna and Travis and Mr. Electricity a horse.
I thought I had one already.
Since they ain't gonna look for one.
You said there's one nut earlier that I can.
There is a gelding somewhere.
My horse just likes to walk around the paddock and enjoy the view.
But I did update.
I like the horses that walk with.
I know you all think I'm crazy.
Those are my guys.
This is why I am crazy. But I have updated my top 35. I have made my top 35.
Tuna's more of a quarter horse.
And I'm not going to go through each horse and tell you about them. But
is there a Clydesdale running?
No. But Travis, I will do a little rundown. This past weekend was kind of a strange, there were four preps, but a lot of the top choices scratched for whatever reason. One wasn't eating his feed. One had a bruise on his leg that didn't look good and got bumped in the pre-parade. And then one just straight up scratched. So the best horses didn't even run except for one. And that would be in the Fountain of Youth. And that is Dornick, who is my number one horse now on the board. Dornick won the Fountain of Youth. The Gotham was a sloppy race in the wet, won by Deterministic. We had the San Felipe with a Baffert horse, Imagination, so that doesn't matter. And the John Battaglia was Encino. And I thought, Tuna might, he loved, one of his favorite movies is Encino Man.
Big Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah. Shore. Hey, buddy. Shore.
Why wouldn't it be?
That had Rudy and Pauly Shore in it.
Right, and you used to go to Spring Break 90, 1992.
You know Brendan Fraser won an Oscar,
out.
Right?
Right, yeah. For the whale.
He won an Oscar.
Right,
but
he was also Encino Man. And I think on Encino Man, he just, like, I don't think
the
he
cheese
talked.
Is old and moldy.
Yeah. Freddie, you make fun of that. I met Pauly Shore the only time ever in Panama City.
Nice.
1996 spring break.
Hey,
that explains
buddy.
Your cold sore.
I met him in Daytona, 1992.
And what a great guy. A great
spring partier.
I never met Pauly Shore.
I met him at Spinnaker's right next to Club La Vila in Panama City.
Club La Vila, yep. And everyone on here has been to both places and gotten wild. Wet T-shirt contest.
Allegedly.
Were you in the whipped cream bikini contest, Fred?
No, I was in the belly flop Daytona 1990 at the Daytona Inn.
God, that's when Daytona was Daytona.
Yes, it was.
Yes,
man.
Yes, it was. But I guess I'll give you my I'm going to run through a couple horses here, guys.
Yeah, please do.
Because it is the time. Like, you know what, the race we have up next is the Tampa Bay Derby. That's this weekend. After that, all the big dogs come up. There's only six or seven of them, as Jody asked last week.
And that's when I start paying attention.
Right,
is
I get
the,
it.
Is when those big races are
right.
coming.
Well, hopefully they don't scratch like last
week.
Yeah, yeah. But you got Dornick right now, who is my number one, Sierra Leone. Number two,
we talked about that horse last week,
right? Dornick, and then Track Phantom is another front runner stalker. You've got Nisos; he's out of the bag. That is Baffert, Timberlake. The Japanese horse is really, really thought of well this year. Forever Young, Catching Freedom, another closer that I love. That I feel was pinched by Sierra Leone, or he could have won one of those big races. Fierceness Locked. You've got Just a Touch bringing out the top 10. But Tuna,
yeah.
As I look through the names here,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Mystic Dan is one for you.
No, no, not
Fierceness,
at all.
Or no. Stronghold.
Nope.
Hall of Fame, maybe.
Nope. Don't like them.
Okay, you were always a Brown Pie guy in Trivial Pursuit.
Absolutely.
What about Liberal Arts?
I wanted Brown Pie. Was that not the name of a horse?
No, no, Brown Pie is not the name. What about Uncle Heavy?
I love Uncle Heavy.
Uncle Heavy,
I'm
okay.
In on Uncle Heavy. Uncle
it sounds Heavy. like a 90s band.
Now, Uncle Heavy is... That's Uncle Cracker.
Well, Uncle Heavy was after Uncle Cracker got a little older.
Playing behind the silos outside on
but
the
But Uncle Heavy in four races is 3-0, and one of them he wasn't in the money. But he was a long shot, and he won the Withers on a muddy track, and he's there. Let's see here. I'm looking for Bookham Dano. I think he's going to run in the Pat Day Mile. We've talked about Encino Man, Encino. You like Nash Bridges. There's a horse called Nash, but he is a Baffert horse.
I like Kevin Nash, big sexy.
Pretty much, buddy. That's all you got to go on is Conquest Warrior, maybe?
I'll figure it out on these next races when you got the big dogs running.
Right. I got you. You're going to figure out, but I've given you some names.
Yeah.
What about the Wine Steward?
I want one that wheezes. I want to hear these horses breathe. I want to hear them wheezing. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm
like,
with
that's,
you.
That's how you know you got a good one.
Well, I am pretty much on through that whole deal named, and dude, I'm not kidding. You got to go down through a top 35 horses, and I write them all down. I've got notes by them. I have what their last speed number was. I have a horse that is 35th called Knightsbridge.
Well, 25
that
of them are going to get replaced
with
next
Godolphin
week.
That ran a 101 speed figure. If he's in a race soon, that will be huge. Tuscan Sky, 33rd on my list. He's only ran two races. He's 2-0. Todd Pletcher horse. Let me tell you something. He ran a 102 speed thing, a speed figure. When that horse, if he runs in one of these other races, all these other horses will be favored, but you got to look at him because of his speed figure. So that's why that I do write so many horses down with their notes, who their trainer is, if they're doing well, if they're not. Locked is hurt. We've got a couple horses that Victory Avenue could have an injury. Anyways, you are right, Travis. I've named my top 35, and Tuna might have a horse, he might not. Electricity might have a horse, he might not. But the fact of the matter is you all are right. The big dogs are coming. So, but what's happening lately in horse racing is a lot, it's kind of like the college basketball. A lot.
Transfer portal.
No, not the transfer portal.
NIL.
Yeah.
It's a greedy
but a
ass
lot of
horses.
Who's got
they're
the
grown
best
ass horses? They're not kids.
But hey, I will say one thing. They have not been passing away lately. So that's a good thing. Correct.
Yes.
Because we had that problem last year.
We'll knock on wood for that.
But one great thing.
Just screwed it.
But what's happening is a lot of them are not running a lot. Like this horse that I just said has two wins. And if he were to win one of these races coming up, that's it. He's ready for the Derby.
Right.
And you kind of want to look at those horses that have not ran so much. I mean,
so you're saying that the horses today aren't as good as athletes as the horses 10 years ago?
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. Hmm. Or they're just not getting worn out as much.
Well,
not,
I think defense back.
Why are they not running as much?
I think the drug testing might. I think the drug testing might be a little more stringent these days too, and that's not a joke.
I think that
may have something to do with it.
Adrian Petersons aren't coming out of high school looking like Adrian Petersons.
Does last year affect this year as of why they're not running as much?
It could possibly be, or it's just not a great crop. I mean, I think every year is a good crop of horses. But for instance, there's a horse that ran this weekend, El Grande O. He's ran 11 times. He's won three. He's coming second, five, and third twice.
Is he going to make the
Derby? That's what you call
Is he going to make the Derby?
Possibly.
All right, that's my guy.
That's what you call a grinder.
That's my guy.
A grinder.
I like what he does. That's work ethic.
And he got, yes, and he got third place.
He knows he has to run to feed his family, and that's what that's what I'm looking
well,
for.
Well, he also needs someone to feed him. Yeah. So get that.
The only time he gets to eat is on race days. So that horse knows
But if you do look at past performances, Tuna, you don't want a horse that's ran that much. He ain't going to make it.
I got a question for Tuna.
But
what's up?
If a horse called Mr. Electricity
mm-hmm.
is in there, are you going to bet on him?
I feel like you have to bet on him.
I'm not going to bet. I'm going to party with him. I'm not going to bet.
Oh,
Travis, I think Tuna has his horse, Uncle Heavy.
I like Uncle Heavy.
And I heard him say it sounded like a 90s band. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we've got the Tampa Bay Derby this weekend, and then after that, everything happens.
Right.
The big dogs, the Louisiana, and it's going to be fun. And that's why I got on it early. I'm also in one of those
like a betting pool type thing. Yeah,
but it is gonna be fun to see when all the horses that we've been watching are all in the same race coming up. It'll be very interesting to see who wins.
Freddie, if you could name your own horse, what would its name be?
Well,
you have 18 characters.
I couldn't just name him Freddie Benders.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, that's 18 characters.
Freddie Benders.
Tuna.
I don't know, man.
Dermot Satokake.
Now you had
a great one a week
what,
or two
what did
ago.
I have last week?
I don't know, but I remember saying that you may have found your calling
Jesus.
As a horse namer.
Yeah. And I'm so stupid, I already forgot what it was.
He did call it out.
Yeah, he had like three right off the top
right
of his head.
We'll go to Travis. Travis, do you have one?
I don't.
Well, he had one last year. Who's your daddy?
That name's already been taken.
I mean,
I've heard.
We can go through the greatest horse names ever. Thunder Gulch.
I got to start keeping a notepad like Fred everywhere, and I can just write my thoughts in it.
Just write them down.
Just write them down, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that just goes here for a second, and then it's just gone.
Some people have a note
it's called getting old.
Section in their phone. I don't know what that is and how to get there.
Yeah, I don't like opening stuff in my phone that I don't normally open
I keep
up.
Okay.
One.
I do that all the time.
I keep one, but I have one by my bed. I have one.
Jody does.
On my desk. And
right by his nightstand.
I told a couple weeks ago, Jody said, hey, that was a neat name that you titled the episode of the podcast. And I said, honestly, I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I remembered writing something down on that notepad. Didn't remember what it was. And then the next day I woke up and I looked at it and I said, hey, that's a pretty good idea for the podcast. So Tuna, I think that might be a great tool for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just any random thought that hits, just keep one of those notebooks and just jot it
and
down.
In order to be,
I'm going to get a tape recorder.
In order to be a good
Captain's
quality,
log.
Yes, Captain's log.
Tuna's log.
You in have one on your phone.
I was going to say, that's the button. What you need with the little bitty tape cassette.
Tuna's
in
log.
And don't
sometimes,
let anyone get a hold of those because they'll be worth money one day.
Sometimes the name of the next episode writes itself.
There you go.
Tuna's log. I love it. That's probably going to be a part of it.
If you do write,
kind of PG-13.
If you do write, you have to have a really good fine pointed Sharpie, and you have to have great small penmanship. That those two things I do not think you have. So you are a tape recorder guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I have horrendous handwriting.
Yeah, mine's bad.
And
should've been a doctor.
I use 99-cent dollar store pens.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm also a lefty, so you guys are righties. That's why.
Well, yeah, but your phone's a notepad. All you got to do is hit the button and record voice.
Oh, no, I don't know how to do that.
Well, speaking of that,
log.
Fred, how's your recent introduction to Twitter going?
Oh, man, I mean, you all see it. I send you all stuff, and you all are like, I just saw that. I'm sure. But you all are being very cool to me and going, oh, check out what Fred just sent us. It's coming out hot right now. But I'm like, oh, look, check it out. There's a truck hanging off the bridge. I'm going to show you first. And you're like, no, I already saw it.
Man, that firefighter was on today.
I think national news, everybody knows about the truck hanging off the bridge Friday.
There was an 18-wheeler hanging over the river. That's going to be on national news.
Over the bridge. Unbelievable. That is in our hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. I was on my way to work on my way back to work, and it was 5 o'clock, and that bad boy was still hanging off the bridge.
And for those who don't know,
with my old eyes,
the Second Street Bridge, which is right next to the Yum Center, right downtown, a semi truck careened off of the road, was like an action movie.
It was actually a bad wreck.
Was literally hanging, the cab hanging, headlights down towards
the
Ohio River.
And the trunk was open, hanging even further.
And this firefighter, I don't remember if it was on our text thread or not, but this firefighter, they had him rappel down the bridge on a rope, and it was a female driver who obviously, I'm sure, was clearly scared to.
Well, he said she was in the military and she was locked in.
Well, there
you go.
That's
what he said.
So this guy rappels down. Like, they're hanging off the freaking side of this bridge.
I mean, it was
and
insane.
I
don't know how the
this
truck
was
stopped.
All broadcast on live television here.
Oh, Fox National News was on it live
here in Louisville, and
it was all.
Thankfully,
over
it had a great outcome. They
just
saved
so everyone
the
knows
lady.
This was the bridge from the movie Stripes.
Yes.
When he stops the cab and throws her luggage out.
Yes,
on the street.
Yes,
because yes, it is.
That was what I told. Before I realized actually it was after I realized that everyone was safe, I said, well, clearly that semi had to avoid the suitcase that was in the middle of the street.
Bill Murray's had enough.
And people don't understand that this bridge, a lot of people use it because they don't want to have to pay the toll on the large bridge.
Right.
I use that bridge almost every day before sports gambling
right
got legalized
to
here.
Exactly. So the Second Street Bridge has a walkway area, and that's pretty much from keeping people from falling off of it. That's what was holding the truck down.
Well,
that's what it ran through.
The truck was wedged underneath
one of the cross beams.
That's the only reason it did not. The trailer was that didn't fall in the water.
Yeah,
anyways,
it's amazing. And
it was amazing.
Thank goodness and God bless these firefighters that went out there. And
hopefully the people that were hit head on the bridge who had life-threatening injuries that they were actually involved in the wreck on the bridge itself. Doing well, because I'm not sure. I haven't heard on that.
But the firefighter obviously is a hero. He's been on the news. They might end up making a movie about him.
I mean, it overtook. I was on looking at the combine and all this stuff on Twitter, and all of a sudden I'm seeing pictures of a truck hanging off in my city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah, it was
he
crazy.
Woke up that morning and he never would have thought that he'd have been a bigger headline than the NFL combine.
That's right.
That's right. Guys, is there anything else that you guys wanted to get to tonight? We're about an hour and 10 minutes in.
I want to take a shot at the SEC and the Big
Ten. Yes.
Here we go.
You're talking about Dallas Turner dominating the combine?
No,
no, we don't care
about
that. About
Isaac Guerrero dominating the combine.
Oh, well, running back. Okay.
Yeah. No, so I guess a petition's been put in by the two big powers that be to already change the 12-team playoff that we worked so hard to get to.
Which we had just talked about.
That we've all been celebrating.
We have just gotten to it, and now the SEC and the Big Ten have collaborated to add two more teams to this and guarantee that the winner of the SEC and the Big 12 get... What are you pointing at? What?
Go ahead.
What, I don't know. There's a bar stool over there. Is there
a
bug
walking by? Dude, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, just let me know if it gets
too close
to me.
It's a lightning bug.
Okay.
Keep going.
No. So they're adding on to the 12-team playoff to add two teams to where there's only going to be two teams that get a bye. The way it's set up now is the winner of the ACC gets a first-round bye. The winner of the SEC, first-round bye. Big 12, first-round bye. Big 10, first-round bye. They're going to eliminate two of those first-round byes and only give it to the SEC champ and the Big Ten champ. Wow. So, if you win the SEC and go undefeated, or the ACC and go undefeated, you win the Big 12 and go undefeated, you do not get a first-round bye, and you have zero chance to get a first-round bye.
Well, that just doesn't seem fair.
It does not seem fair.
It's BS.
Yeah. So... They need to leave it alone. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it is with college sports, and I guess the pros do this also, but the postseason, they just cannot help but to screw with it and tinker with it. The college basketball, March Madness, they're going to end up expanding this.
It's been a long time that they haven't.
But they're getting ready to go on and do it again. Do we really need to? Do you think we need to?
Do you think Greg Sankey just had that in his back pocket and he was just waiting? Him and the Big Ten.
Well, no.
Him and the Big Ten commish have already had lunch and
the
talked.
The minute that they all voted, because the Big Ten did it to go to a nine league games in a season. The SEC, the minute that they all voted to go nine league games in a season, I think those two commissioners were like, okay, we need to guarantee our bye spots right now because we're going to beat each other up.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's exactly what happened. I wish you would have been there to stop them.
Next time I find out that they're meeting, I'm getting a cape and I'm busting in there.
You should.
I am. Super Tuna. In. I'm going to wear your ACC shirt. I'm going to wear some underwear on my head.
Yes.
And a cape.
I got some gold chains for you.
And gold chains.
Super Tuna riding this. Uncle Heavy coming through the doors.
Yeah, Uncle Heavy is coming in hot.
Yes.
Super Tuna's log.
Yeah.
I think this title could be Uncle Heavy versus the SEC.
It's going to be terrible. But just leave it alone, guys. That's all I got with that. I mean, the fact is we haven't even had our first 12-team playoff
yet. And they're already messing with it. Yeah.
It's like you talking about expanding the basketball tournament. We've just said nobody less below the 8 seed has ever won. That's 32 teams.
Right.
We already have 68. Why are you going to expand that? Don't mess with this 12-team playoff. I'm an SEC guy. But you're idiots to even.
Yeah,
throw
has
that
anyone
out there.
The play-in games? Has anyone upset the? I'm sure that's probably happened. The play-in game team has upset the team.
Oh yeah,
imagine you're a 15
seed or
16
seed.
The other one's like 11-6 or whatever.
There was
the other play-in.
There's been a play-in game team make at least the Elite Eight.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, because it's only two 16s and two 11s. It's not all four 16s.
Right.
I get it, but I just don't recall that.
Yeah, I mean, you have, well, hell, what's
the Elite Eight?
St. Peter's got to the Elite Eight, and
they weren't in the play-in game.
But they were a 15.
Yeah.
But they weren't in the play-in game.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of times the play-in teams are theoretically better than the 15, the 14, the 13
seeds. I agree, but I just I haven't
Wasn't
seen
Miami
anything. No
2 years
no.
ago?
No.
Miami.
I'm pretty sure there's been a play-in team make the at least the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
my
so.
Records show no from all my bracketology.
I'd just be pissed for the 16 seeds because they're like, playing in the NCAA tournament is like the biggest thing to happen to them. And
that's exactly,
they get to play
exactly
in this play-in
right.
game, and they may not even get to go. They did all this work and won their conference championship for a ticket to the big dance,
right.
and they're not even going to get to the real big dance.
But everybody,
they got to go to Dayton, Ohio.
But America is watching them.
And why are all the play-in games in Dayton, Ohio?
Because Dayton, Ohio is a big basketball mecca.
It is.
It really is. I've been there.
But
I've watched
there's
games
a lot
there.
Of places that are big basketball.
Greensboro like, is a huge mm-hmm. basketball mecca for games.
So have them all there. Rotate them. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
why does Dayton get all the fun every
year? Des Moines, Iowa is another big one.
Des Moines.
Des Moines, Iowa is one. You've got Greensboro. You've got Charlotte. Now, that's a little bigger.
Grand Rapids, Michigan?
No.
I'm just naming cities
right now. You're naming capitals?
Fargo, North Dakota?
No, but Greensboro.
No,
really,
Greensboro
yeah.
is.
And,
like,
and so is Dayton. Dayton yeah. is big.
I'm sorry, Fred. It wasn't the Elite Eight that the play-in team has made. It was the Final Four.
No way. Who was it?
VCU.
Oh, Shaka.
Oh, my God. And they
Shaka
were in the,
Smart.
Hey, you're telling me they were in the play-in game
they,
that was on, like, Thursday or
they,
Wednesday night?
They certainly were.
In the 11 spot?
And they, that was not Shaka.
They beat,
they didn't even have yeah, that around yeah. then, did
no,
they?
No, it was certainly Shaka.
He went back-to-back Final Fours,
yeah,
didn't
it was certainly Shaka. They beat USC in the first four. Then they beat Georgetown, Purdue, and Florida State.
Okay.
And then they beat Kansas.
Oh.
And then in 2021,
UCLA,
there was another team that won a play-in game and made the Final Four, and that
what?
Was UCLA.
I can't stand it.
Oh, yeah, I knew UCLA yeah. did it. Yes.
That's the most recent.
That was when I thought it was Miami.
I think that's when
UCLA.
I had my child. When I had,
I think
I
you
was,
missed
I
one.
I was
Trev.
In the emergency or in the hospital.
Loyola Chicago.
No, UCLA was just recently.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Jaime Jaquez was out there.
Dude,
I watched that game.
You're
with
telling
you.
Me that that team with Jaquez and all them
yes,
badass NBA players
yes.
was a, didn't have a good enough record to make the NCAA tournament, and they had to do a play-in game. Are you sure about that?
Yes,
I'm pretty sure.
It yeah, wasn't.
No, it was.
It was 2021.
I watched that game with you,
Freddie. I have it right here. It's UCLA and Loyola Chicago in 18, and VCU right before that.
There you go.
Ooh, Sister Jean.
Where's my
go.
Notebook?
Update it, Fred. Hit that.
Hey,
hit
you
that
get you
update,
a tape recorder.
Freddie.
If
hit
you had a
update.
Tape recorder,
I think
you
I
just...
was in Tahiti then or something.
You're always in Tahiti.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm going to look that up tonight and just relive it and see what the hell I was doing and where I was.
You were with me on the capstone. We watched that.
Really?
Yeah, we watched, like, I think four UCLA games. You were all on them. You were like, Jaime Jaquez.
Oh, I know I was, but I didn't think they were in a play-in game.
Yeah, it was Mick Cronin was coaching them, and we were all like, yeah. It was a big thing.
How could that team be in a play-in game?
Well, it was for the 11 seed. That's what a lot of people forget. There's two 16s, and there's two 11s that are play-in games.
Maybe I'm just forgetting those 11s. Because the 16, there ain't no one coming out.
Well,
no.
Because, yes, that is right. I mean, those 16 seed games are just fodder for the.
So you are saying, like, maybe Florida will be in one of those possibly.
Well, the team that beat Purdue out last year was a 16 seed. They won their play-in game.
That's right.
So they
Indiana was in the play-in game Not last season, okay. But the year before.
All right.
Mayday.
Have y'all heard of Han Solo? Maybe I was in the Carbonite. I don't know, Lando. I don't know where I was.
It's a trap.
This was, you were in your heavy champagne days at this point.
Maybe
in time.
That was.
So you were in a little champagne state of mind and forgot it all.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
This was pre high noon, Freddie.
That's why you shouldn't drink that $6 bottle of champagne.
I blame it all on Cal. Maybe I was shell shocked already.
Oh
my
God.
All the UK losses.
Guys, I am going to take this opportunity, first of all, to remind people to give us a follow on social media. Follow us on Twitter/X @BlockoutPod. Type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. Check us out. Send us a message. We are going to start being more active. I know I keep saying that, but we are. And Las Vegas is a great opportunity for us.
Freddie's trying.
For us to really take advantage of that. We appreciate each and every one of you that listens every week. And with that, I am going to send it around the room to Tuna. What do you have for us here at the end of the show?
I'm going to throw some picks at. I've got a three-piece for you set up for tomorrow night. First game, we're going to go with Notre Dame to cover 15.5 at North Carolina. Micah Shrewsbury's squad is really starting to get it together. They're starting to understand him. I think Notre Dame is going to be a force, but he's a really good coach. They just really lack talent this year. So I like them to cover the 15.5. I like Bama as underdogs on the road at Florida, giving up one or getting 1.5. Give me Bama to win that after coming off a tough loss at home to Tennessee. And then I'm going to jump on South Florida to absolutely smoke Tulane. That's a 7.5 point spread. I'm going to bump that up in an alternate spread to 10.5.
What? Jeez, yes. Let me keep up here.
Yeah. So, huh? Yeah, South Florida -7.5 over Tulane. And also, while we're here, I want to give a shout out to the Smashville Predators for winning 8 straight games and right now sitting in that last wild card spot for the playoffs.
Awesome. Freddie. You want me to send it to Jody first?
Yeah.
Mr. Electricity, what do you have for us?
All right, we talked about the firefighter earlier. That guy's name is Bryce Carden.
Thank you for having that.
From Louisville. Thank you, Bryce. Appreciate it. I want to bring up something real quick. We didn't talk about it. Caitlin Clark broke the all-time record
right.
in college basketball, passing Pistol Pete. What I really want to bring up is they talked about Kelsey Plum being the now number 2 scorer. She is not. She is the 3 scorer all-time in women's basketball. She had 3,527 points. Lynette Woodard was actually the number 1 scorer that Caitlin Clark broke her record at 3,649. She graduated from 81 from Kansas. But the NCAA did not recognize women's sports at that time.
That's right.
She was also the first female to ever play for the Globetrotters.
I remember that.
So just want to give her a shout out.
Awesome.
As far as picks,
that was a big Scott Drew head floating in the stadium.
I have to go with UK being 1-1 this week. I think we win on senior night and lose at Tennessee. But I'm just going 1-1 this week.
John Schiami on the call tonight. I love Schiami. He's one of my favorite baseball guys.
I do too.
Dude.
Yep. I think he's great.
Anytime he's calling a baseball game, it's the best.
Yeah, I think he's great. Fred, you got anything for us?
You know what? I don't. I really have nothing.
Speechless, boys.
I got nothing for you, Greek.
Are you looking up UCLA still?
No,
you still don't believe that.
I'm still shell shocked on the UCLA.
All right, well, in that case, I'm going to give you Colin's picks for this week. He is taking Florida against Bama.
We're going head to head here, son.
He is taking Illinois against Purdue.
What was the spread on that? I couldn't find one.
I have not seen that.
Is that game at yet. It's at Illinois, right?
It is at Illinois. Oh. I would think it's, I mean, it's got to be a point or two.
Yeah.
Either way.
There is someone uglier than Babcock.
And then he's taking,
yes.
He's right there.
He's taking Michigan State against Northwestern. I have one pick this week. We talked about him earlier tonight. I'm going to take Nevada tomorrow night, getting 5.5 points at Boise State. That's going to be a huge game. I wish like hell it wasn't. It didn't start at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because it starts at 11 o'clock. So I might watch the first 10 minutes and then wake up at 4 in the morning and find out who won. But I will tape it.
Those are called Christmas morning bets.
Yes. Yeah. But
find out if you get your lump of coal or a tree full of gifts.
That's exactly right.
Freddie is taking Sean O'Malley to win his big fight this weekend.
Oh, yes. I just watched a UFC fighter fight, and I don't know anything about any of that. But I watched this dude bust some noses apart and so forth, and I was like, who is this maniac in dreadlocks? And his name is Sean O'Malley, and Tuna, of course, knew exactly who he was, and he is fighting. He's a welterweight UFC fighter, and whoever he's fighting, you should be worried. Because I have never seen so much blood on these men in my life. And he never even got him on the ground. This is strictly boxing that he was beating these guys to a pulp. And it amazed me. Sean O'Malley.
Big title fight.
If you haven't seen him fight, good Lord Almighty.
Big title fight against Marlon Vera this weekend. So.
I wouldn't want to be in a cage with him. And he looks like he's about our size.
And for the second week in a row, I'm going to close the show with the unfortunate news of the passing of a professional wrestling legend, Mike Jones, who some old school people might remember as Soul Train Jones.
Soul Train Jones.
But as most 80s WWF fans would remember, as Ted DiBiase's assistant, Virgil. Virgil passed away this week at the too young age of 62, a part of, I'm sure, many of our childhoods. I know he was a big part of mine. R.I.P. Mr. Jones.
And Million Dollar Man's walkout song will always be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And R.I.P.
Everybody's got a price.
Hey, Tuna likes getting injury reports and so forth in the NFL. R.I.P. Mort.
The Mort AKA Report, man.
Yeah.
Chris Mortensen.
I'm glad you brought that
he
up.
He was the... He was Adam
he was
Schefter
the insider
before Adam
before
Schefter.
Insiders.
He was really the first guy that had that
had
job.
That niche, exactly.
And he was great for many, many years. Yes,
you always started your NFL Sunday with the Mort Report.
Yep.
That's and, how you knew it was.
That's right.
I'm glad you brought that up, Fred. Yeah. RIP to one of the real pioneers of what has become modern sports reporting.
I mean, especially for fantasy football and all that. I mean, he was right there when it all started.
He paved the way for your Jay Glazers, Adam Schefters, and all that.
There's no question. Again, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you guys for being here. For Mr. Electricity, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.